Hello and welcome to the Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're looking to the United States, where the economy and markets have enjoyed a strong couple of years. A unified Republican government, fiscal stimulus, regulatory relief and the fruits of Obama-era economic expansion, which have persisted, even expanded, under Donald Trump, have all played their part. What we're asking on the programme then is, against that backdrop, and with an acknowledgement that the economy is driven by far more than domestic US politics, do the upcoming midterm elections there matter? We'll delve into the recently published UBS Election Watch report that bore that title and hear some of its authors and contributors discuss the themes to watch ahead of November's polls, explain what, if anything, the last general election in 2016 has taught us, and to deliver a verdict on the meaning of midterms, whether bellwether, policy maker or breaker, or fork in the road. We start by putting that question, do midterms matter, to our panel, beginning with Jason Dreo, UBS Head of Tactical Asset Allocation for the Americas.
Generally, they have a relatively low impact on both the economy and financial markets. It matters for potential policy outcomes, but oftentimes the outcome of the midterms is, I didn't say well telegraphed, but it's kind of known far in advance. So given that, I think for investors, we already expect, as a base case, the Democrats to take control of the House. The market's kind of priced for that scenario. So when it actually materializes, I think the next day you wake up and kind of shrug your shoulders and say, well, okay, 2 months is a lot of talk, but ultimately, relatively small impact for the market in that base case scenario. That doesn't mean that if you get a scenario such as we defied a red tide, that wouldn't have an impact in the same way that or a blue wave, as sort of risk scenarios relative to the base case, but in the base case, the impact is going to be relatively modest.
Mike Ryan is Chief Investment Officer, Americas, UBS Global Wealth Management. Mike, the question to you, do midterms matter?
Well, the answer is, of course, every election matters because the outcomes from elections can certainly have an impact on the policy decision makers and ultimately the policy decisions that are made. That said, we have to remember a couple of things. First of all, that elections aren't the only thing that matters, nor are they the most important thing that matters. What matters most is what happens in terms of the macroeconomic drivers. That's ultimately what determines the outcome for markets.
John Cervacol is the head of UBS's U.S. Office of Public Policy. John, as we've mentioned already, the Election Watch piece is subheaded, Do Midterms Matter? But I suppose, and we've already heard, elections are always important, aren't they?
Absolutely. Elections always give shape to where a nation is headed and what policies will be pursued, and all those are extremely relevant to how financial markets react. So I think all elections are important. Some are more important than others, but all elections matter and are important.
Mike Ryan, the report works through a number of electoral scenarios, from the status quo being maintained through to a dramatic Democrat success, taking both houses, for example. Can you talk us, Mike, through what the base case is for you and your UBS colleagues?
First of all, I think when we talk about base cases here, we have to recognize that base case doesn't necessarily mean status quo, because obviously electoral outcomes are influenced by public opinion polls, by historical precedent. And keep in mind that typically at the midterm elections, the party that has power almost uniformly tends to lose seat in the midterm elections. There are very, very few exceptions when the party in power actually wanted to pick new seats. So when we say that what is most likely is the base case scenario, it's not the status quo. Now remember, throughout this election, regardless of how Congress wins, the executive branch will continue to be controlled by the Republican Party because Donald Trump will remain as president no matter what happens at these midterm elections.
Reflecting back on 2016, Jason Dreo, I think we talked at that time about certain market negative policy aspects of Trump's campaign proposals, which haven't necessarily come to fruition yet. I guess that serves as a good reminder that politics remains tricky to read in terms of exactly how it does or doesn't shape things.
Well, I think 2016 is a good reminder for all of us to be a little bit humble as investors and strategists, that certainly when it comes to assessing politics, it is a tricky thing to do because politicians make decisions for political reasons, not necessarily because of the optimal economic policy that an economist might design. And going into the 2016 elections, the view was if President Trump was elected or became president and the Republicans, you know, had control of the House and Senate, that the bad scenarios or bad policies that we thought they would pursue would dominate the, you know, the potential good policies. And that thus far, as you said, that has not been the case. We've gotten tax reform, we've gotten regulatory relief. All that's positive for the equity markets, it's positive for the economy. At least thus far, we've had definitely, you know, issues on trade this year, which U.S. markets have been able to kind of brush off with relatively unfazed. That hasn't been the case in, you know, other parts of the world, certainly in emerging markets. I think some of the recently reflects that, the consequences. At some point, that could kind of flow back into the U.S. It just hasn't thus far.
And Jason, in the Election Watch document, there's a reminder that the economy is driven by all sorts, not just politics. On the flip side, though, there are occasions when the politics can surprise. If we think of Bill Clinton facing impeachment proceedings, the Democrats actually gained seats in the following midterms. When the economy is doing well, as it was then, as it is now, I suppose the politics can be even harder to read.
When the economy does well, I think the politics become, you know, good kind of water cooler conversation, not necessarily driving investment decisions. I think a good example of that outside of the U.S. is actually what's happened in Australia. Recently, they had a new prime minister. I believe that's the sixth in the past 11 or 12 years. Yet Australia has not experienced a recession in 26 years. So here's an advanced, well-developed, mature economy that's been able to grow very steadily, irrespective of having constant sort of turmoil at the federal government level. So I think that kind of proves the point that when things are going well, the politics matter less. Where they do matter is when things aren't going as well, and then you have bad policy decisions, which I think we've seen in some cases in some emerging market countries, you know, recently. And that is a risk that when things aren't quite as good in the U.S., that the policy measures of, you know, significant trade barriers or tariffs may be fine when the economy is growing at 4%. It's not nearly as good when the economy is growing at, you know, sub 2%.
Jason Dreo. Still to come on The Bulletin with UBS, we'll hear more from the head of UBS's U.S. Office of Public Policy. And as ever, we'll sum up what all of this means for investors. Let's turn to the investor implications next, and there are a number of interesting aspects. The report suggests that market impactful legislation that's already been passed under Trump is very unlikely to be undone by the next Congress in almost any foreseeable circumstances. Jason Dreo, it's presumably instructive to bear that in mind from an investment viewpoint.
It's important to remember that even if the Democrats get control of the House, it's unlikely they would get the Senate. I mean, we can blue wave scenario when they get both. Even with that, they still wouldn't have enough seats in the Senate to kind of override a presidential veto. So the legislation that's been passed thus far in the, you know, President Trump's term, that essentially can't really be undone. What can be done is basically not passing any new significant regulation or legislation. And so that's why, you know, the market sort of already got what it wanted in terms of, you know, tax reform, in terms of regulation. And so we're not likely to kind of undo that at this going forward. The risk that it sort of materializes is you either get gridlock or potentially extreme gridlock if it's Democrats kind of sweep everything. Then you get uncertain events, whether it's a government shutdown. And if domestically President Trump can't do anything, the concern is then, well, he has far more discretion internationally on foreign policy, on trade. Does it get even stronger or, you know, push even harder on that? Does it raise the risk of being, you know, stronger in trade actions? So I think there's a possibility in that scenario that actually has some downside risks for the markets. But in the base case where the Democrats get the House, it gets kind of, you know, pretty much steady as you go for the next 2 years from a policy perspective.
If we're talking investment implications then, I guess, Mike Ryan, that these elections may almost tell us less about shifts in policy and more about how dysfunctional Washington will be in the second half of Trump's first term. But I suppose, depending on how the votes go, can you give us a steer on what we should expect?
In our base case, what we see is that we already have a certain level of political discord between the two parties, where basically the Republicans and Democrats can't agree on a whole lot. Now, obviously, in the early stages of the Trump administration, they were able to pass a number of legislative points through, the most important, of course, being tax reform. Were we to see that Democrats could gain control of the House of Representatives, what you would see is that this polarization, this partisanship, would ultimately lead to a deeper form of gridlock, where you'd see virtually nothing happening on the legislative side except for the things that absolutely essentially have to be done. What it would mean then is a lot of, in terms of how how governing works, is that only essential bills and essential legislation would want its way through Congress. And otherwise, what you'd see is a lot of it is simply the status quo, where what's currently on the books legislatively will continue to be the law of the land. And a lot of will be pushed through in terms of any incremental change will happen through executive action.
John Savicol, if I can come back to you, let me ask you a little about the Mueller investigation, because obviously that sort of forms one of the most compelling potential pieces of the backdrop and something that could really shift the dynamics as we head towards November. I know that you shared with some colleagues elsewhere in UBS your thoughts on that in the report. Maybe you could just sort of precede them for us. What kind of difference do you think that might make?
Well, the Mueller investigation is probably the most important thing happening in Washington right now. I think if the Mueller investigation concludes that President Trump has done something illegal, or if it ties President Trump to any Russian election activities more directly than has been shown so far, it will certainly raise the voices of Democrats to try to impeach the president if they have a majority in the House or Senate in 2019. So the investigation is important for a lot of reasons, but probably the most important reason is that it will determine the volume of calls by Democrats for impeachment. If Trump comes out of the investigation not too damaged, and if there aren't specific allegations against him or charges against him, then my guess is the cries for impeachment will die down. If, however, there are charges against him or accusations that are serious and substantive, then the cries for impeachment will escalate, and that will be the big story going forward for the rest of the year and into next year as the new Congress convenes.
The base case doesn't mean the status quo. You mentioned impeachment briefly. Is that only a possibility, though, John Savicol, if the Democrats deliver in both chambers?
Yeah, I think it's probable that impeachment will only be a serious possibility if Democrats control both the House and Senate, unless the Mueller investigation has very serious charges against the president. If that was to happen, you could possibly see the Senate move toward action, but they would need 67 votes to convict the president. So 67 is a high number for any Senate vote. So I think that the charges against Trump would have to be of the most egregious nature to warrant 67 votes. So I think impeachment at the end of the day will involve a lot of noise, but we won't see it happen, although we'll hear a lot about it.
And on the flip side, I suppose, John, what if the Republicans retain control of both chambers? What happens then?
I think if Republicans keep control of both, what you'll see happen will be a replay of the last couple of years. You'll see cooperation on certain targeted issues, like additional tax reform will then become a possibility. You might get other bills that emerge, but you won't see as much happen legislatively because the Republican majority will be slimmed down in the House. So let's say they do keep control of the House. Rather than having a majority of 24 seats, they will have a much smaller majority. So they won't be able to get as much done in that kind of environment. So I think what you're going to see in 2019 and 2020 are 2 years heavy with executive orders by the president, which will amount to things that he can do unilaterally. They'll be limited and some will be modest, but this is very similar to what happened in the last 2 years of the Obama presidency. He wasn't able to work with Congress to pass a lot of things, so he did a lot on his own. He issued a lot of executive orders. The good thing about them from the perspective of those implementing them is that they have the force of law. The bad thing is that they can easily be reversed by the next president, and that's what we saw happen when Trump came in replacing Obama. He reversed a lot of the Obama executive orders. So they have the force of law while the president is in office, but they can be easily turned around by a new president.
Finally, on the program, given all we've been discussing, a quick thought from you, Jason Dreo, first, on how investors should look towards November. What should they be focused on?
As an investor, I'm a little more focused on how does the trade dynamics play out and the Federal Reserve policy. Will they raise rates in September? Very likely, yes. But then what do they do beyond that? I think that's the two things that are going to drive markets more so than the outcome of the midterm elections over the next 2 months.
And back to you, John Cervacol. What should we focus on? Whether that's things that are relevant for investors or things that could reshape the landscape ahead of the midterms. What do we need to look for ahead of the November vote?
I think if currently there's a Senate, there would be a Senate vote this month on the Supreme Court nominee. If he was to fail for any reason, I think that would be a big issue and would be a big political jolt. I don't think that's going to happen, but that has that potential if the vote goes the wrong way. I think some of the trade issues are going to be very active over the next couple of months. Trump desperately wants a trade win before the election, so I expect him to get that through the NAFTA negotiations. And despite some contention between the U.S. and Canada, I do think there will be a deal that will be the Trump trade accomplishment that he can tout before the election. The trade issues with China will continue to linger. I think market watchers are mixed about what they think the market impact will be, but certainly there will be more Chinese and American goods that go into each other's countries that will be subject to higher tariffs. The whole notion of a trade war hasn't really happened, but you'll see this particular trade spat continue to escalate, and all of the U.S. trade contention will be focused on China for the rest of the year. So I think that'll be the story going forward as we move toward the midterm elections.
And that's John Cervacol bringing us to the end of this 205th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.